Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington, D.C. that the government does not want you to know. I'm your host, former congressional attorney Mark Levine, and the topic today is the FCC crackdown on the radio, particularly on Howard Stern, but not only on Howard Stern. There's all manner of people on the radio that are getting cracked down, and I want to hear from you what you think about that. You know, most of this stuff has been going on for many years now, some of it a decade. I'm not a big fan of Howard Stern myself. I listened to him several years back. I turned him on for maybe a week or two, and I don't know, the stuff got pretty old for me pretty fast. But I think he has a right to be on air, and I think he has the right to say the things he does. And we're going to talk this hour about Howard Stern, about the pretty vague standards of the FCC to defining obscenity and decency. And we're going to talk about where it all began with Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl, what some have called a tempest in a C cup. And in discussing this today, we have to be careful. I mean, even discussing about this, which obviously it's political, obviously we're discussing government action, we should be able to talk about it. And yet even talking about the government action, a clearly political topic, is threatened. Because I myself have to be careful as to what I say to you on air. I want to tell you what happened on the Howard Stern show, what's happened on Oprah and other things, so that you can compare it, and yet you and I have to both be careful, watch our language, so to speak, to protect ourselves from the FCC. And I want to know what you think about this. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I apologize if I sound a little hoarse today. I have a cold, which I really hate. I'll tell you, it's spring, it's beautiful outside, and I got a cold. I mean, at least in the winter when you have a cold, you know, everyone sort of suffers along with you. But that being neither here nor there, let's talk about what has gone on. We all know, I mean, you'd have to be living in a cave not to know about Janet Jackson baring her breast, or more specifically, Justin Timberlake baring her breast at the Super Bowl. Now, she says that she meant to keep her bra on, and just the costume was supposed to rip away, not the bra. Some don't believe her. That's not really the point, I don't think. The point is that what she did led to hundreds of thousands of Americans writing into the FCC condemning what she did. And it's interesting because Howard Stern and other programs have been going along just fine with virtually no action taken whatsoever. But what happened at the Super Bowl changed everything, and it really put Congress in a censoring mood. Now, some would argue that the conservatives in Congress, the Republicans who run our Congress, really did just needed a pretext, just needed a reason to go and attack, and that they took it. But in any case, Janet Jackson's wardrobe malfunction at the Super Bowl definitely set off a storm, and I think it's gone too far. I think it's gone way too far. I think there's a big difference between Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl, where people are expecting a sporting event and they have kids and they're not really expecting to see a woman's breast, and the Howard Stern show. It seems to me that those people who listen to Howard Stern, they like his kind of humor. And they probably know if they have kids in the car, they probably shouldn't listen to Stern. A lot of his stuff is graphic, it is titillating, it is sexual. Like I said, I don't particularly like it. But I will defend strongly his right to be on the air. I think that they're attacking him really hurts all of us. And what's interesting to me is that the thing that the FCC fined Stern on, the thing that kicked him off the air, happened in July 2001. Do people realize this? It happened in July 2001, not recently, not even last July 03. It happened 2.5 years ago, and they did nothing, absolutely nothing. Until Janet Jackson showed her stuff and woke up Congress. Now, if anything, I have problems with that legally. There's a clause in the Constitution, ex post facto. It says there's no ex post facto laws. What that means is you can't punish someone for something that was legal at the time they did it. Okay? If you got the Constitution, and I'll just digress a bit into constitutional law. Let's say you don't like someone looking at pornography on the internet, say, which I actually want to get into because I don't think they like that either. But there's no law prohibiting pornography on the internet, and somebody looks at pornography on the internet in 2002, and then in 2003 Congress passes a law prohibiting looking at pornography on the internet. Can you put the person who looked at the pornography a year before the law was passed in jail? No, you can't. That's called an ex post facto law. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. It's way back in our original Constitution. It seems to me that that's actually what they're doing with Stern. Sure, we had a law, and we're going to go into it, the FCC standards on obscenity and indecency, but they weren't being applied to shows like Howard Stern until after the Janet Jackson fiasco. At least, it seems to me, at the very least, the FCC could say, here are the standards from here to the future. Watch out, people on the radio. We're going to apply them rather than going in the past. And so I want to know what you think about this. Again, the toll-free number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Or you can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. So what happened in July 2001? Well, here's where I have to be careful. If you want to know the exact thing that happened, you have to go to howardstern.com and read the transcript right there on the internet. I'm afraid that I can't say it repeated on the air, even though clearly I'm doing it for political reasons rather than for titillating reasons. But in any case, and I'll try to describe it carefully, Stern was describing certain sex acts that he thought could be performed while sitting on the toilet in the bathroom. Again, not exactly high art. I will agree with that from the outset. But he was describing these acts, giving certain names to them, and yeah, he was being titillating about it. One of the interesting things, though, that I found on the Howard Stern website, and again, I'm not even a big fan of Howard Stern. I just support his free speech. I support his cause, is where he showed a TV show, a transcript from the Oprah show, Oprah Winfrey, America's wholesome, wonderful woman in Chicago. And again, I don't mean to attack Oprah. I like Oprah as much as anyone. Frankly, her shows for me have gotten a little boring, a little staid. But apparently, she did a similar show, an extremely similar show, where she again described graphic sex acts using names that were names that people had never heard before. Again, I hesitate to describe them to you on the air, but she described these sex acts, and they were joking, and people had fun with them, and no one has threatened to, in any way, fine Oprah. The FCC hasn't. In fact, one unidentified person at the FCC said, well, you know, Oprah is universally loved. Howard Stern isn't. He's easier to attack. And I'm afraid there's a lot of truth in that. I should tell you, I tried very hard to get the FCC to come on the air. They, in fact, put out a press release when they fined Howard Stern and left numbers for people to call. But then when I called those exact numbers in their press release for comment, they said it's the FCC's policy never to comment. Well, if it's their policy never to comment, why are they putting out a press release saying for comments, you know, call this number? I find that a bit disingenuous. In other words, it's not exactly innocent. Oh, well, we never comment. Well, if you don't comment, then say it in your press release. So I tried to get certain family groups, we support the family values, so-called groups. I mean, I hate that they have usurped the term family values for their own agenda, but they have. And so the American Family Association, Concerned Women of America, all these right-wing family groups, they wouldn't come on there to discuss this. So I started calling around my Republican friends. You know, I do have on the air from time to time Republicans, conservatives, and they wouldn't defend the FCC action. So I guess I want to know if there's anyone out there who will defend what the FCC did. I haven't found anyone, but whether you defend it or you criticize it, again, please call in 877-57-SCOOP. But I want to find out, in addition to whether you support the FCC action with Howard Stern, is do you think they should be fining Oprah? Do you think they should be fining Bono, who appeared at an awards function and used the F word as an adjective, F-ing. He called something F-ing brilliant. Again, I have to be careful. But he called something F-ing brilliant, and originally that wasn't a problem with the FCC. Apparently it is now. They're changing their mind. What do you think about that? And last, and this was the most interesting, I got an email just this morning from a regular listener called Angel Lopez. Thank you very much, Angel, who writes that on Fox News, on the Good Day New York at 7:10 a.m. this morning, They interviewed a mother who used the F word twice, and they played it on the air, didn't even go to a break. So they played on the air on the Fox News channel two uses of the horrible F word, and guess what? I don't think they'll be fined. That is Fox News. They do the administration's bidding. So part of the question I have here, is there a political agenda? One of my fans writing to me about this insists that it wasn't Howard Stern's sexual stuff that really got him fined, but his political stuff. He said that he's been listening to Howard Stern recently. Again, I haven't listened to him in several years. When I listened to him, it was all sex stuff. But he says about a third of Howard Stern's stuff today was political, and it wasn't too supportive of the administration. And this guy believes that it was politics, not sex, that knocked Howard Stern off the air. But I do want to see what you think. I want to discuss also the difference between sex and violence. It strikes me that when you turn on the television, again, it can be all hours. I'm not just talking about after 10 p.m. You can turn on at 4 p.m. when kids are just home from school. And you can turn it on and watch a police show and see a really vicious murder. I mean, disgusting. You can see someone shoot someone. You can see the blood go into the street. And I don't see too much call for stopping that. It seems to be that we believe that kids 8, 9, 10, 11, they can watch murder on the screen. They can watch violence. They can watch torture. There's some Christian groups that were encouraging people to see the Passion of the Christ, which is an extremely gruesome picture of the torture of Jesus. I mean, it's the blood dripping him off and all the flesh falling. And just to describe it, frankly, it does not hurt my stomach at all, and I'm not well. But it's a really gruesome movie, and yet some people were saying children should see it. Look, here's my question. What is our problem in the United States with sex? Whatever you feel about showing sex to children, can we at least come to an agreement that showing a murder on TV is worse than showing Janet Jackson's naked breast? I mean, look, guns kill people, but breasts don't, do they? I mean, look, I may not want 16-year-olds having sex, but I'll tell you this, I'd rather have 16-year-olds having sex than killing people. Isn't that right? How is it that we live in a society that can show these murders on television, show vicious blood-killing, torture, and encourage it and approve it, and yet somehow the naked female breast is bad? I mean, let's go further than just the question of the SEC. Let's ask the questions, how is it that sex became such a bad thing? Now, you know, I'm not saying that maybe little kids should be hearing details about sex acts, but isn't it at least a little strange that we went so crazy over a naked woman's breast? I mean, in France, they go topless and on the beaches, and it's no big deal at all. So I want to hear from you. The number is 877-57-SCOOP. I want to talk about the FCC standards for obscenity, for indecency. And I want to hear from you why you think this is happening now. Is it a question of Janet Jackson and her breast? Is it a question of conservatives taking over? Is it a question of church groups controlling us? What is it that is causing this FCC crackdown? What do you think about it? And do we really risk free speech? Or is it no big deal? Is Mark Levine just going off and making a tempest in a teapot to compliment Janet Jackson's tempest in a C cup? Am I just going too far here? What do you think? The number is 877-57-SCOOP, toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP. If you like the number, it's 877-577-2667. Or you could email me by emailing Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with your calls right after these messages.
Step right up, seniors, for it's time to play Medicare Gotcha. As you know, the drug companies have been ripping off us consumers, charging exorbitant prices in the U.S. for medicines they sell elsewhere for half or even a third as much. Because of public outrage over this gouging, Bush and his Congress had to look like they were doing something. So last year they rammed into law the Medicare Drug Discount Program for senior citizens. The program, which begins in June, is a bedazzling, convoluted, privatized shell game rigged with enough trickery to make a county fair flim-flammer blush. Start with the fact that rather than simply stopping the price gouging, as other countries have done, Bush's program subsidizes it, putting some $139 billion of our tax money into the pockets of the drug giants. Then there's the corporate hucksterism built into the new system. If you think phone company come-ons are confusing, wait till you try to compare the dizzying array of private drug discount plans that'll fill your mailbox. Pharmacy chains, drug companies, insurance peddlers, online firms, and others will try to lure you into taking their card. They'll all offer different enrollment fees, different discounts on their list of drugs, and different lists of drugs that they cover. Not only will each company have its own price list, but grab your wallet. Their prices can change weekly. Yes, this means that a company can hook you into taking its card by offering low prices on the medicines you use most often. Then, gotcha, jack up its prices the next week. Well, you say, if they do that, I'll just switch companies. Gotcha again. Bush's law only lets you switch cards once a year. This is Jim Hightower saying, getting the medicines you need ought not to be a game, much less a game rigged to enrich drug industry ripoff artists. It's time for a national health plan in America, based on people's needs, not on drug company profits.
Sometimes it takes an army to help one child. It's the Salvation Army, and it needs your help to send needy children to camp this summer. To donate, call 1-800-SALARMY or donate online at 1-800-SALARMY.org. This army can't help a single child without you.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about FCC censorship, or at least what I call censorship. I want to find out what you call it. Of the Howard Stern Show, of Bono for using the F word, saying something was effing brilliant, and their non-censorship of people like Oprah Winfrey and Fox News. And we're also talking about why it is that America is so concerned about sex on TV, but violence, killing someone, really, they're not that concerned about. How is it that a woman's naked breast is more harmful to children, who, you know what, they saw it when they were babies, if they nursed. Why is that more harmful to children than violence, watching murder on TV? We're taking your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
This is Xavier in Santa Cruz.
Hi, Xavier in Santa Cruz.
Hi.
What do you think about my topic?
Well, I think it's a good topic. One of the first thing I want to point out is tolerance. I want to get into. I was noticing that you were saying that you didn't really care that much for Howard Stern.
I don't.
And I appreciate it when you said that once, but I noticed you were saying it a bunch of times, and you don't have to apologize to me.
Well, no, I'm not trying to apologize. I'm just saying it's not my cup of tea. You know, people like Howard Stern. That's fine.
Whenever a person, let's not personalize, I won't personalize. I'm just saying when a person, sometimes there's a shame that you might like a certain thing. And I personally don't, I think Howard Stern kind of goes over the edge sometimes. But if you look at his personal life, there are people who have said that he loves women.
Yeah.
He may not seem like that on the air, but
how about this, Xavier? I like Janet Jackson, all right?
Okay,
does that make me better?
Okay. Now let me take you said something else. You said that he's not as widely accepted, and what I wanted to say is that some people I like some of what Oprah Winfrey does too, but I find her to be somewhat feminocentric sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I know that there are a lot of people in the United States who wouldn't agree with that statement, that she's not widely accepted. And this is the problem. This is when I'm going to get back to tolerance, is that I think that we have a lot of white males in our country who have been pushed too far to the right because there's no place for them in the left. And you know, as far as tolerance, you can take censorship to the nth degree, like on the internet, they have filters that can filter out.
Yeah, they're trying to do that now. There's the Communications Act that's trying to protect against child pornography that I think goes way too far.
Right. Well, I'm a pagan, okay? I'm a witch, all right?
Good for you.
And what if I were to push, and people like me were to push to have a filter to filter out Christian content? You know, you can.
People would be on the walls, going crazy.
I know. My point is that we can take this to obscene levels, but what we really need is tolerance, and we need people to. The point I was trying to make about Howard Stern is, like, everybody may not like him, but a lot of what they don't understand is that. It's a reaction to other things in our culture that, you know, they take it to extremes to kind of push things back in the middle, I think.
Yeah, look, I don't even have to go that far. I mean, I don't know that Howard Stern is trying to, you know, save the white male or try to bring back extremes. I think he's just trying to do entertaining radio. And like I said, I don't happen to find him entertaining, but that I don't mean to attack him as a person in any way. I just I tend to like politics more than, you know, titillating sex descriptions on radio. But that's just my preference. What I'm saying is I'm supporting others and their preferences. I mean, it sounds to me like you think Howard Stern got a raw deal.
Well, I think that a lot of it is political. I think that all the time he was doing that, it wasn't an issue until started bringing up the fact that he had read Al Franken's book. And,
right. Isn't that interesting? I mean, the whole point of the FCC, supposedly, and we're going to get into the definitions in a few minutes, but the whole point is only to prohibit sex acts and specifically not to prohibit political content. And what's interesting to me is that Howard Stern did all this sex talk for 10 years, and nobody noticed. I mean, a few people noticed, but nobody cracked down in any stretch. He starts to do some politics, and suddenly they crack down because of the sex acts. And that seems a little fishy to me.
Well, I think that we're very immature in this country about sexuality, and we just, like the comment you made about women's breasts, kids see them whenever they're babies.
Exactly.
You know, it's like sexuality has to be made a joke. To
you know,
be,
and the naked human
on the air.
You know, the naked human body is not such a horrible thing. Maybe I'm just really radical for saying this, but it's a naked human body. I mean, we all have one. Every one of us has a naked human body.
Yeah.
Some are prettier than others. I'll grant you. I've been to topless beaches, and some I'd rather not see. But you know, it's natural. It's part of life. What's not natural is killing someone, is torturing someone, and yet that never seems to cause a problem. Frankly, when I saw The Passion of the Christ, and I don't mean to pick on that movie alone, there's a lot of very violent movies, and no, I don't want to censor them, but I winced. I had to close my eyes. I did not want to see someone's eye being gouged out. That just wasn't my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I would think that if we're going to regulate anything, we should start with vicious acts of torture first and sex second. I don't know. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we even need to. I think that the problem is sexuality. This gets into a whole different subject, so I'll try to keep it light, but I think that sexuality is limited in our culture because it's used in advertising to dangle a carrot, basically to fuel the capitalist engine.
Sex sells.
We get men to desiring it, and they form Christian families and have kids and follow, and they consume and all kinds of stuff. They become dominator people. They become police, military, so they can protect their women. It gets into a really weird trip, and I think that
I don't know that all that's because of sex, but
well,
but
I think that if we were to just have sex be like legitimized, and you don't have to like dangle it as a carrot, it wouldn't be used that to that degree. Is my point?
Huh, that's an interesting point. Hey, thanks very much for calling
in,
Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name? And where are you from?
Yeah, this is Gordon from Michigan.
Hi, Gordon from Michigan. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you guys have been hitting on the idea that of the psychopathism of this nation's consciousness, the idea that, we are sexually repressed, and because of that, we access ourselves to all sorts of violence. And
which do you think is worse, to show, or would you not – would you allow all these things to be shown completely on TV or on radio? Where do you draw the line, Gordon?
Well, you know, I live right across the border from Canada, and I have access to Canadian TV. And like you said, they have shows where they show the human body, and they show childbirth in its entirety. And it's takes away from all of the shock value. There is no shock value.
You know what's interesting to me? I mean, it's not just a question of the media. It's like, for example, if there's a woman that's breastfeeding, okay? And our society says that she needs to, you know, leave the room, maybe go into the bathroom, something. And maybe that is appropriate. I don't know, but I wonder.
And the universal reaction to that should be innocence and purity.
Well, it's a very natural thing. I mean, the baby is breastfeeding. What could be more natural than that?
Right. More innocent.
And I'm not saying the woman should flash her breast, you know, in public and show the baby. But if a woman wants to discreetly, you know, sit with maybe a blanket and breastfeed. Again, I just wonder what it is about our society that we can watch these shoot 'em up movies, never complain, and yet somehow sex is evil or wrong. And the first caller, Xavier, thought it was very much part of the Christian tradition. That may be true.
Well, it's pathological.
Well, it's very different from Canada and Europe and other countries. And it's very interesting to me. And again, you don't have to support Howard Stern to say this. I'll tell you what I want to do. Well, first, let me give the number out again. It's 877-57-SCOOP. If you want to call in and be heard, please do. 877-57-SCOOP. What I want to do, Gordon, I don't know if you have any more points, Gordon, you want to make?
Well, I think that's basically it.
Okay, thanks so much for your call.
Yep.
What I want to do is I want to read the FCC standards. You got to know the law, right? And I'm a lawyer. I'm a constitutional lawyer. I used to work in Congress. It's important to know the standards. So let's read the FCC standards, and I'll try not to bore you. They're fairly short. What is obscene? Now, something that's obscene cannot be shown at any time. What's the definition of obscene? It must meet a three-pronged test. Number one, an average person applying contemporary community standards must find that the material as a whole appeals to the prurient interest. Okay? An average person applying the standards of their community, so the standards in Nebraska may be different from the standards in San Francisco, must find the material appeals to a prurient interest. Now, what is prurient? Prurient is one of those wonderful legal words. I know it kind of means sexual, but I took out my Black's Law Dictionary because we need to know exactly what it means. We have to be careful not to violate the law. Howard Stern should be able to read the law, understand it, and not violate it. So what's prurient interest? According to Black's Law Dictionary, it's a shameful or morbid interest in nudity, sex, or excretion. A shameful or morbid interest. Now, what about a normal interest in nudity, sex, or excretion? I guess not. It has to be shameful or morbid. Well, what's shameful or morbid? You know, shame to one person can be very different from shame to another. Let's read the second definition. Prurient means having lustful ideas or desires. Well, I think most human beings have lustful ideas or desires. Didn't even Jimmy Carter, born-again Christian, all-around good guy, say he had lust in his heart? So it can't appeal to lust. Well, why not? What's so wrong with lust? I mean, okay, let's read the third definition. An obsessive interest in immoral and lascivious matters. Okay, it has to be obsessive, right? So we can talk about immoral or lascivious matters. Well, what makes it immoral? Again, morals are decided by each and every individual. Lascivious, of course, is just another word for lustful. So prurient basically means you can't appeal to someone's lust. Well, you know, when I see those beer commercials with the women in the bikinis, aren't they appealing to lust? Isn't that obscene? Why aren't those banned? Well, there's two more definitions for obscenity, and I want to read them to you. It's always important to educate people on this show. Second, the material must depict or describe in a patently offensive way. Okay, not just offensive, but patently offensive. Patently would mean obvious to everyone. We must all agree it's offensive. The material must depict or describe in a patently offensive way sexual conduct specifically defined by applicable law. All right, so there's got to be some law defining the conduct, and it has to be patently offensive. Well, what if you find it offensive and I don't? Then how can it be patently offensive? How can these standards apply to anyone? I mean, once is an average person, but then they say patently offensive, right? I mean, they say in the definition of prurient that it's a shameful or morbid interest in sex. Well, what makes it shameful? What makes it morbid? Lastly, it says the material taken as a whole must lack serious, literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. Well, hopefully that is what's protecting me right now on the radio, because clearly I'm talking for political reasons. I am trying to argue that the FCC shouldn't be censoring this kind of stuff. That's political. So that's why I think I could actually repeat what Howard Stern said on the air, use it as an example of politics, and be excused, right? Shouldn't I? I don't know. I'm nervous about it. I'm not doing it. Isn't that interesting? That here I think it's clearly allowed under the law for because it's clearly a political show, and yet I don't feel comfortable saying it because I'm afraid they could crack down on me. And then look at other sex acts that are used for political reasons. What about, you got to bring up, Bill Clinton? What about the Star Report? That had lots of very detailed sexual acts that I think were patently offensive, and they were designed to be prurient. I think Ken Starr was designed to get us off, to use sexual language. I think that's exactly why it was there. It was done for political reasons. It was done to bring down a president. But should that be censored? What do you think? The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine. What's your first name and where are you from?
This is Bert from Minnesota.
Hi, Bert from Minnesota. What do you think?
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about a related point, the differential application of the censorship laws to different people,
in this
case, based on their political views.
Right, and like they're not censoring Fox, for example.
Precisely. Or Oprah.
So, and
let me do a quick aside here. One of the reasons that no one was taking the anti-sodomy laws seriously was that they weren't being enforced. You've said in a previous program that in order to have a law, you not only have to have it on the books and have it be enforced, but paid for, but you also have to have it be enforced.
Let me just explain to people who may not know. I think most people do. Sodomy would be considered certain unnatural sex acts. For example, oral sex in Virginia, even between a husband and wife, was illegal until 2003. But they generally weren't enforced except against gay people. Generally, gay people had to suffer this while straight people didn't, which was clearly unfair. And then finally, when Texas put a couple guys in jail for committing sodomy, they were just overturned last year in 2003. I just want to give the background. Go ahead, Bert.
Absolutely. All that's absolutely true. And the reason why a lot of people didn't take those sodomy laws seriously, even in the states in which they weren't being enforced even with gay or lesbian couples, is because they didn't take it seriously because they weren't being enforced. And they let these laws on the books just kind of slide by.
Right.
The problem with that sort of, letting things slide like that is that there is differential application of those laws to people based on other values.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I'll tell you something. It's been used all the time. This is actually one of the arguments I had in my criminal law class when they had, for example, laws against loitering. And what is loitering? Loitering is sitting out on the street having fun. And what we found is that they were using anti-loitering laws against black people, but not using them against white people who were also playing out in their yards.
Yeah.
And so what happens when you have a law that's not being enforced is it ends up doing exactly that. I mean, sodomy, if you took every person in Virginia that was having oral sex and you put them behind bars, I don't know, they say Virginia's for lovers. I imagine you'd have quite a number, including married couples, behind bars.
Right.
So vague laws are almost designed for unfair consequences. I think that's absolutely right, Bert.
That's precisely my point. And then bring it back into the FCC thing. That, of course, you instantiate it to, Howard Stern doesn't get, these laws don't get enforced on him. You know, how long was he giving this program? It was on at midnight, at least on the E channel when I remember.
Well, it was also on in the morning. I mean,
oh, was it? Okay.
I hate to be fair to the FCC, but I got to tell the truth here on the Inside Scoop. Yeah, no, his show is on in the morning as well.
Okay.
I guess my view is that most people knew where he was, and if you're driving a hookup in the morning, that's a southern term, driving a carpool, excuse me, I'm showing my southern roots. See, most people even know what that is. Everybody in Tennessee knows what a hookup is. That just brings out my background. But
that
if you're driving a carpool, it's kids to school in the morning, you don't, hookup could have all kinds of meaning. I might be censored here. I gotta watch my mouth. But, the point is that if you have kids in the car, you don't turn on Howard Stern. It's that simple.
Yeah,
and if you do, that's a parent's right. I don't know that they're the best parents in the world, but, that's their choice.
Yeah, that brings up – I don't want to take up other callers. Do you want to go on?
Tell you what. Why don't you hold, and we'll get another caller on the line, and we'll come back to you after the commercial. How's that?
Okay.
All right, hang on, Bert. Let's just get this caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine.
I'm enjoying the show, as usual.
Tell me what your first name and where you're from, please.
Ron in Indiana.
Hi, Ron in Indiana.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head. You've made some very good points. the this question of what's obscene and what isn't, you know, they've been wrestling with that for a long time. What gets me, though, the airwaves are supposed to be public property, so you would think that at some point there'd be a hearing or something before they make these decisions.
Well, you know, that's a great point.
What Stern's audience, like 10 million? I've seen 10, 12, 15 million people,
it
you
may
know,
well be.
Who obviously liked what he was doing.
Right.
And their interests are just more or less thrown out the door. They just didn't seem to matter, you know. We have what I'm afraid here is the, more and more. Now here I'm getting into deep water, but
go for it. Just don't use curse words.
Oh, I won't. we have the emergence of a, and with all due lack of respect, Bible thumpers. We have the emergence of an American Taliban,
yeah.
More or less.
Well, I'm concerned by that.
Who are certainly entitled to their views, but
and they're entitled
until
to
they
teach,
try to
right.
tell me what that I have to live
exactly.
with their views, you know.
Exactly, they can teach them to their own children, but
it's,
I wish
sure.
they'd leave other
leave
children
alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And as the general question about sex in America, I've wondered for a long time. You know, every. You know, the word which we cannot say, but
that,
which we all say in our normal lives and do. And
the
we
one beginning
exist,
with F?
The F word.
Okay.
And it's in our language in America, they're all negative connotations. You can't think of a single positive use of that word with a positive connotation. It's
I don't know.
It's
Bono.
F you. It's
no, but wait a minute.
You F off. And...
Well, but hang on, Ron. Bono at an award show said something was effing brilliant. I think that's actually a positive connotation, isn't it?
Yeah, you're right. You have a point.
So they're not all negative.
But in general, I'm trying to say normally
okay.
it's used in a negative
True.
Way. What, what is actually a very good, proper Anglo-Saxon word. It to say that it can't be used when it describes an act which is done by most people every day, if,
right.
well, if they're lucky.
Yeah, I don't know about every day.
But
you must be lucky, Ron.
To say the word is wrong is just beyond any rational kind of comprehension.
You know what's interesting, and this is just sort of a side note, most of the words, those wonderful four-letter words that we use in everyday conversation and don't let our children use and certainly don't want to say on the air, most of them are, in fact, every one of them, to my knowledge, is an Anglo-Saxon word. These are old words. If you look up the etymology of these words, where they came from, they date back to Old English. I mean, they're really old words. And it's interesting because most of the words we use today to describe, sexual organs, things like that, we use the Latin words, which seem so, you know, I don't know, antiseptic, I guess. They seem very medical. And yet these Anglo-Saxon words are some of the oldest words in our language. And it's interesting just historically that when the Romans came in and invaded England, which they did 2,000 years ago, the old English terms became the dirty words and the Latin terms became the good words. And I wonder.
I know, it's puzzling, isn't it?
It's kind of interesting that 2,000 years later, we still suffer from the Roman occupation
yeah,
of Britain. Isn't that ironic?
We think we're a civilized, we are a civilization, but if you think about it, we're really, in some areas, we're really dumb, you know, like how do you talk to your children about sex without using these words, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because kids hear these words all the time.
And, of course.
And
if you use the euphemisms, you run the risk of confusing them, you know?
You know, I know. It's language is an amazing thing. It has a mind of its own. And it really is one of the few organic things. You know, it's not rules. It's just something that develops through use. You know, there are lots of new words that didn't exist many years ago. You know, whether it's yuppie or dissing someone or
sure.
I heard recently somebody gave me props for being a good debater, and I had no idea what he was talking about. Turns out I now know that means proper respect. It's a rap term. I'm trying to get cool, you know, trying to understand these
yeah.
things. But language changes, and that's a good thing. You know, it's a very – I mean, I'm
oh,
not –
it changes daily.
It does.
Minute by minute, actually. But that some of these, the fact that we as a society get so upset about a word, it boggles the mind if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, what's going to happen if you use the F word with some, you know, the world's going to come to an end or what?
Apparently,
you know?
So. Apparently so. I know some places in, not to pick on New York or New Jersey, but I know some places up there, F used as an adjective is, you know, F-ing is used virtually every other word. Now,
well, sure.
I'm not saying that's a great thing, but sometimes it's amusing.
It's just a word.
You know what's interesting to me, exactly, the
but
word.
But it's okay to say words like cruise missile or shock.
Well, that's exactly my point.
It's okay to use these words, you know. I don't understand it. Never did, never will, I suppose.
Well, thanks very much for your call, Gordon.
Thank you.
I appreciate
it. Great show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, what's interesting to me, again, words are horrible. If you say a word, they can ban you, as we know from Howard Stern. If you discuss sex, and again, Howard Stern wasn't showing sexual acts. He was simply discussing it, right? It wasn't porn, which frankly I think we're too restrictive on anyway. But he wasn't showing porn. He was discussing sexual acts. So if you use a certain word, that's bad. If you discuss sex, that's bad. If it's violence, if it's torture, if it's showing the brutalities that go on in wartime, that's fine. You know, mass murder, show that's fine. I mean, even if it's not for historical purposes, even if it's just to show a smash-em-up film, that's okay. What is it about our society that violence seems okay and sex isn't? I don't know, but we'll be back with more of your calls. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. You can also email me by sending an email to Mark, M-A-R-K, at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this.
This is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner.
Female plaintiffs in a class action sexual discrimination lawsuit against airplane maker Boeing got some additional ammunition for their claims recently from the company itself. A court order related to the lawsuit forced the company to release more than 20,000 pages of internal documents, including reviews of salary and wage scales conducted by Boeing. At least one of these definitively concluded that a gender-based wage disparity existed at the company. In its defense, Boeing says the reports do not demonstrate evidence of discrimination, but rather a good-faith attempt on the part of the company to track down and eliminate unequal pay. Preliminary hearings on the class action suit, which currently covers close to 5,000 women employed by Boeing in Kansas, will begin in May.
According to anonymous comments made by U.S. Department of Labor officials, proposed harsh overtime regulation changes, initially predicted to cut off 8 million people from overtime pay protections, will now be softened. The new overtime rule changes will still cut the number of workers receiving overtime pay, but would preserve eligibility for most white-collar workers earning up to $100,000 a year, as well as for police, firefighters, and other first responders. If enacted, this will be the first time an upper salary limit is set. David Cohen is assistant to the president at the Department for Professional Employees, AFL-CIO.
Inflation could quickly raise everyone to the $100,000 level, and over time could be a major problem. So an automatic conveyor belt taking people away from overtime pay protections.
While Cohen and the AFL-CIO are pleased their efforts are having an impact, they're still pushing for the Harkin Amendment, which would preserve overtime for all workers.
Grocery giant Kroger will make a $116 million payment to two of its competitors, Safeway and Albertsons, before the end of the month. It's part of a dubious agreement the three chains entered into to break a strike of grocery workers in Southern California. Under the deal, Kroger, whose stores were not picketed as much as Safeway's and Albertsons, agreed to split revenue with its rivals in order to offset the loss of sales by the picket lines. Meanwhile, California's attorney general continues a probe into the legality of the agreement, which may violate antitrust law.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. You better have extra money to burn, at least in your engine, because gas prices hit another record high this week for the fourth week in a row. According to the Government Energy Information Administration's weekly survey, motor fuel increased by 2.7 cents from last week to a national average of $1.81 a gallon. That's 29 cents higher than this time last year. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. We're talking about the FCC crackdown on Howard Stern and others. This is your host, Mark Levine, former congressional attorney. And we're exploring the law here, as well as the consequences, as well as the question of why this is happening. And it seems to me that one of the, I think it was Gordon from Michigan, raised a good point. He said, you know, how can we stop this? I mean, what could Howard Stern do? He wishes Howard Stern would fight it in court. Well, here's something you may not realize. Fighting this stuff is really difficult. And the reason is, and it's a legal reason, is that they start with an administrative proceeding. And they come after you with an administrative proceeding, and then you have to fight it there. And then after maybe 2 years, if they still uphold it, you can go to court. But only if you refuse to pay the fine. And then while you're refusing to pay the fine, they can then decide, well, you're under this cloud, so we're not going to renew your license. After all, the FCC didn't kick Howard Stern off the air. Clear Channel kicked him off the air because they were afraid of the fine that was never actually imposed. Now, that raises a whole other question about the consolidation of the media. Clear Channel owns 1,200 stations. The FCC has been helping, urging, supporting consolidation of the media, making sure that we have fewer and fewer voices. So they're busy knocking people off the air on one side, and on the other side, homogenizing everyone's view to basically be the same. So I want to know what you think. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. And let me tell you about another case, again, that illustrates the difficulty of fighting this. And that is a rapper, Sarah Jones. Now, Sarah Jones had a song called Your Revolution. Basically, it was an attack on the misogyny, the hatred of women, used by male rappers. So it was not only done for artistic reasons, and I haven't heard it, so I can't speak to its artistic merit, but it wasn't only an artistic piece, it was actually a political piece. She was attacking men who were attacking women. And yet, the FCC threatened to fine her. So for 2 years, her rap song wasn't played on the radio because stations across the country were all afraid of fines. After 2 years, she fought it. She fought it, and, brave woman, unlike Howard Stern, spent the money, paid the lawyers, kept fighting. After 2 years, she finally got into court to discuss this, and the FCC dropped the suit. That's right. They just dropped it. They said, all right, okay, you're right. For 2 years, they, in effect, prevented her from being on the radio. And then when she finally got to the court, they couldn't defend it. And so we've got real problems with our laws here. And I hope that all of you can talk to members of Congress and let them know how you feel. You know, it's not just Howard Stern. Well, this may sound silly, but it's Bubba the Love Sponge. He's someone else who's done things like Howard Stern has. And again, you don't have to appreciate what they say to defend their right to say it. As you can see, legitimate forms of expression, like Sarah Jones talking about misogyny, talking about how male rappers demean women, her radio broadcast, which seems to me to have a lot more, her song broadcast on the radio, which seems to me to have a lot more, merit than anything Howard Stern does, that wasn't shown either. And what do you feel about things that have no merit at all, but are just people's private things? What about internet porn, all right? Now, I support everyone's right not to get porn on the internet, but what about those that want to get porn on the internet? Is that such a horrible thing? Should Congress be able to ban that? Do you know that with the Patriot Act, the government can watch where you go on the internet? And that the only thing that keeps Ashcroft from monitoring every one of us is just funding? That he just can't watch 250 million Americans? Is there any regulation of the airwaves that is appropriate? I'll give you one. I'll give you one place where I think the government has the right to regulate the airwaves. This may go against everything I said before, but I don't think so. I think the government has the right to require that a certain number of free ads for political campaigns be run on the networks. We do publicly allow the networks. The networks belong to us. The radio spectrum, the TV spectrum belongs to us, the American people. And I have no problem with the government saying you've got to give a half hour a day or maybe only during the political season, an hour a day or to the major parties, maybe even some minor parties, to express their candidates' views on the air. That, to me, is beneficial regulation rather than trying to stop people's choices. And if people don't want to watch the political ads, they can turn their TV off. Bert, you've been holding a long time, and you said you wanted to stay on in case there were any more comments. Do you have any further comments for me?
Yeah, it's basically goes back to my prior point, but what are these laws supposed to protect against? Is it supposed to protect against young ears hearing things they're not supposed to hear?
I think so. I guess that's the point. I guess, yes. It's all for children. We do it all for the children.
Well, it just seems like that's something that could have been, the president or, you know, this is all part, FCC is part of the executive branch, right?
So it is. It
seems like this is something that could have been put down to the stations as a recommendation. You know, if, you know, we recommend no F words, we recommend, you know, this, we recommend
Well,
that.
You know, what's interesting is that most stations don't do this stuff anyway. I mean, it's actually quite rare. Although I guess I have to say on the other side, and again, you know I don't support this, but as I said on my other show, we repeat it here, a law that's not enforced is really not a law at all. So, you know, I don't know how far recommendations go unless they're backed up by the threat of some kind of action. What's interesting to me, by the way, is that it's not just is the difference between radio and TV and things like cable TV and internet. I mean, I broadcast on the internet on Radio Power, and let me just say as an aside, if you want to support Radio Power, I encourage you to do so. You just click and give your donation. It's entirely listener sponsored. But Radio Power, being on the internet, actually, I could say those words. There is no regulation at this time of the internet. I could say all those words. I can't say them on the radio. But I can say them on the internet. And what's interesting to me, and on television, if you notice the difference between, you know, HBO and Showtime, they can have shows like Sex and the City and Queer as Folk, you can't put that on ordinary TV because cable is this extra thing you buy. And yet at the end of the day, I don't know how different they are. I mean, kids can get on the web, they can get on the internet, kids get cable TV. It's kind of a strange distinction in my mind. What do you think, Bert?
You're exactly right. I mean, and in my job, you know, science, you know, the same world apply, you know, the same rules that apply to one area of the world should apply to everything. And, you know, so when I hear these kinds of, you know, impropriety, like you've stated at the beginning of the show and then just now, you know, in my head, that's something's wrong and it ought to be generalized. But, I don't know. That's just the way I go about solving problems.
Yeah, well,
great show.
Thanks. Thanks very much for your call, Bert. As if you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. If you want to email me, I know many of you are at work and can only afford an email. That email is mark, M-A-R-K, at radioinsidescoop.com. I want to get to some of my emails. I got an email by Callan. Doesn't say where he's from. I won't read your last name, Callan. Oh, I can tell from the area code, Chicago. All right, Callan from Chicago. He says, Mark, thanks for the great show. Howard Stern's show is not my cup of tea, but the minute you censor freedom of speech, anyone's speech, is the minute you lose the very reasons our forefathers fought for the freedom that created our Constitution here in the U.S. I think Howard should take it to court. Two Life Crew won. He could, too. He also agrees with my ex post facto line of reasoning. Thank you very much, Callan. Let's read some others. I got one from Raul. He writes... Mark, there's so much going on with the issues you raised at the start of your show, I'm not sure where to start my response. First, I agree with you that seeing Janet Jackson's breast, which it should be noted was really hardly visible anyway, was not a big deal. Okay, yes, it was a family event and children were watching, but the fault lies with Jackson and Timberlake. As to the reason the FCC is cracking down, the answers are multiple and varied, but they're interrelated, and that basically Janet Jackson started it all. It's a long email. I can't read it all. But he goes on about American perspectives on sex and violence. And he thinks that violence is not censored so much in America because our society supports and perpetuates violence, especially male violence. And he talks about the way masculinity is portrayed by Bogart and Casablanca and Rambo and Vin Diesel. At the end of the day, he's saying that violence is not accepted because it supports patriarchy. It supports, you know, male violence. But sex, notably female sexuality, is not accepted because of Christian morals. Thank you, Josh, from Pennsylvania. You wrote more, but there's only so much I can read in email. I can do more when you call in. Let's see. One more email. Got one from Wes. Wes saw the FCC chairman on the other day and noticed his last name is Powell. Yes, he is the son of Colin Powell. Michael Powell is there as the son of Colin Powell. No, I don't think he got his job on the merits, Wes. Nor do I think that Strom Thurmond Jr., the 27-year-old son of the late Strom Thurmond, who died at age 100 a year back, I don't think he got it on the merit either. I don't think he got to run South Carolina. People do get jobs because of their names. But Wes's question is, do I believe that the Bush administration uses this to their advantage to push Christian fundamentalist agenda? Well, you know, It's very hard for me to get into people's minds. You know, why is Bush doing this? You know, hey, Georgie doesn't talk to me that much, really. And unless Uncle Dick Cheney tells him what to say, we really can't talk much. I mean, he won't even talk to the 9/11 Commission without having Dick Cheney by his side. So the only time he talks to me is in when I give him interviews. And by the way, I plan to repeat my famous interview of George W. Bush later on this week. Stay tuned for that. So I don't know. You asked me, Wes, what is Bush's agenda? All I know is his supporters' agenda, and his supporters are Christian fundamentalists, and his supporters definitely don't want this kind of stuff on the air. So what can I say? Look at the man's supporters, and maybe that will explain the question. Let me move on. I've got a couple emails related to what I said last week, and I want to read those as well. Joel writes, and he's talking about, I had mentioned on the air that first it was Paul O'Neill, former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, then there was counterterrorism czar Richard Clark, and then there was Woodward, and all three talked about the fact that Bush planned to go to war with Iraq long before the terror attacks on 9/11, that he took resources from Afghanistan and used them for Iraq. And I pointed that out, and J.D. From Sherman, Texas, points out that it's not just those three sources, that you can look at not just the Woodward 60 Minutes interview, but there's a Frontline documentary, which you can find on pbs.org. Email me at marketradioinsidescoop.com if you want the address. And basically, this has been known for a long time, and that no matter how many times the conservatives go and they try to distance themselves from each one of these things, when you have one thing after another thing after another, you really have to wonder. And I want to conclude with an email from Jeremy in Kansas, who describes himself as a Rush 24/7 subscriber. He calls himself, and I think Jeremy is very proud to call himself, a right-wing flag-waving conservative. And Jeremy, I'm glad that you right-wing flag-waving conservatives are listening to my program. I got to tell you, I'm a flag-waving liberal and proud to be one. And indeed, I waved a flag after 9/11 in memory of the lives lost for a year. I am very proud to wave my American flag, as I'm sure are you. Please don't take the flag away from us. But Jeremy challenges me. He challenges me quite harshly about the Woodward book and says, oh my, have you gotten a few things wrong about this book so far? He tells me to do more research or read the book before I quote it as truth. You see, I read people who criticize me. Jeremy says, Jeremy in Kansas, our flag-waving conservative, says that the Bush-Bondar oil scandal was nothing because Bondar said on Larry King Live that it was a courtesy extended to Clinton and to Carter. Well, Jeremy, you missed my point. My point is not that the president shouldn't go and seek oil prices to be lower. Of course he should. The problem is when he allows Saudi Arabia to run up prices now, and have you looked at your gas tank lately, Jeremy? It's high, even in Kansas. Run up prices now to take a huge profit just in time to lower it for the election. The problem is not that we should always want lower oil prices. The problem is that Bondar was raising them now to lower them before the election. You also claim, Jeremy, and hey, Jeremy, if you disagree with me, call into my show. I've always welcome conservatives who disagree with me on the air at 877-57-SCOOP. Jeremy says that that I said that money was taken out of the war fund for Afghanistan to fund the Iraq war, which Jeremy says is not true. Jeremy says the money used by the Pentagon to help fund the Iraq war was pulled from the funds provided by Congress for the war on terrorism, not marked only for use in Afghanistan. Well, Jeremy, let's talk about that because I think it's really important for people to understand it. And so I actually have the bill here in front of me. The bill was enacted 3 days after September 11th, 2001. It's $40 billion. And the bill provides the money to, quote, respond to the terrorist attacks on the United States and to deal with other consequences of the attacks. Now, Jeremy, was the war in Iraq a response to the terrorist attacks on the United States? I don't think so. And that may be where you and I are. Clearly, Congress, on September 14th, 2001, was not thinking about Iraq. Jeremy, I defy you to find me a single person in Congress in that debate on September 14th that talked about Iraq. They wanted to respond to the terrorist attacks. And the terrorist attacks, my friend Jeremy, were coming from Afghanistan. Iraq didn't attack us. Shall I repeat? Iraq didn't attack us. None of the 3,000 Americans murdered on September 11th were murdered by Iraqis. You could argue that Saudi Arabia attacked us, but you can't argue that Iraq attacked us. clearly the funds used to respond to the terrorist attacks on September 11th were meant to respond to Al-Qaeda. And there is no connection between Al-Qaeda and Saddam. So yes, that money was used. It was used illegally. And I think the president broke the law, and this should be looked into very carefully. But thanks very much for your call, Jeremy, for your email. I hope you call in sometime and challenge me on the air. Unfortunately, my program is about over. I only got 45 seconds left. I do want to say that this Sunday I have a very interesting program with a journalist who talks about what's going on in Iraq. It turns out that Iran is behind a lot of it. Again, that's something that's virtually never discussed. We arm Saddam Hussein to fight Iran, and yet Iran and its religious teachings, they're actually attacking us in Iraq. That's my show Sunday. Next week, I'm going to replay my interview with George W. Bush, and I hope you'll be tuning in, whether it's weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time or Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern. There will be no show tomorrow. We're going to play a nice Best of Mark Levine tomorrow here on Radio Power. And last I want to say, if you want to support the Inside Scoop, I always welcome it. We can advertise your products and support our sponsors. Please just click on Mark at RadioInsideScoop.com or just go to my website, RadioInsideScoop.com, and click on Advertise, and you too can help support Progressive Radio. Thanks so much for listening in. It's been a great show, and I'll talk to you on Sunday at 7 Eastern Time.